For the first 40 years of my life, I basically avoided the book of Revelation. When I was a kid, I heard about all the scary things that were in this book, and we were basically scared into believing, into being ready at any moment for the terrible things that are in the book to happen. And then I saw many people get into passionate and sometimes destructive arguments about it, and I wondered, is this what this book is really all about? I'd read Revelation, and I'd come away often wondering what that was about. And what difference does it really make in my life today if these events are going to be so far down the road? But over the last few years, a couple of troubling developments have moved me back towards Revelation. The first one was I saw Christians, some Christians, declare with absolute certainty what was going to happen in the end. And I wondered, how can you be so sure? When you look at the ways of God, he often works in ways we don't expect. When you look at the disciples who were with Jesus every day for 3+ years, they still didn't understand that he came as a suffering servant until after the resurrection. So I wondered, how can people be so certain that this is the way things are going to be? On top of that, when you look at John, who received the revelation throughout this book, you will see that he himself struggled to understand what he was seeing. And twice in Revelation, he engages in inappropriate worship of an angel. And I began to think we must approach Revelation with much more humility than we may have in the past to hear what God might have to say to us through it. The second area that troubled me was my own attitude towards Revelation. Did God want me avoiding a book that he inspired? Was God okay with me avoiding something in my public teaching, even though it was controversial? And the more that I thought about this and prayed about it, I realized the answer was no. So this brings us to the book of Revelation today. And I wonder what your experience has been with this book. Some of you may have studied it intently. Some of you may try to interpret current events through Revelation. Some of you may occasionally read it, may appreciate some parts of it, but overall leave thinking, what was that all about? And especially, what relevance does this have for my life today? For the last several years, I have more intentionally studied Revelation, and this may plunge further by attending a course, a week-long course, 36 hours of lectures on Revelation. And by the end of that week, I learned I have a lot to learn. But at least I have a stronger understanding of this writing and how it can impact our lives today. And I also believe the study of this book is timely for us as a church because in 2017 and 18, we are focusing on worship. And there is a lot of worship in Revelation. And it presents to us a choice that we must all make. Who will we worship? Will we worship the Lamb that was slain and the eternal God as described in Revelation 5:13? And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Will that be us? Or will we worship the dragon or devil and his beast? Like in Revelation 13:4, and they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who can fight against it? So we will enter into this mysterious yet marvelous book for the first half of 2018. And I pray that God will make clearer his revelation of Jesus Christ to us. And I pray that we will grow in knowing him better so that we can more effectively worship him with our whole lives. But today, we are just going to dip our toe into the book by looking at the first three verses. These verses give answers to Revelation that most of us have. What is it? What does it reveal? And how does it apply to our lives today? And with answers to those questions in mind, we will then proceed to the Lord's table, the one who gave the revelation, and meet him there. So please find Revelation 1, verses 1 to 3 in your Bibles, or you can find them in the Pew Bible in front of you on page 867. And I'm going to read from the English Standard Version these three short verses, which state, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." So we can learn a fair amount about the nature of revelation from these verses. And the first question is, what in fact is revelation? And the first piece of revelation is that it is an apocalypse. In fact, the first word of the book in Greek is apocalypse. Apokalypsis Jesu Christu. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, when we think of an apocalypse, the popular culture image of an apocalypse is some world-shattering event where most of the world's population is wiped out and the world is left as basically a wasteland for the few survivors left to try to survive. But this is not the biblical view of apocalypse. Apocalypse means uncovering of something hidden, or the making known of what we could not find out ourselves. So revelation is a good translation of apocalypse. Revelation means a revealing, an unveiling of something that wasn't known before. Around the time of Christ, there was a fever pitch interest in apocalyptic literature. Why? Because the Jews were greatly oppressed. They had suffered under Roman occupation. They lived under the military. Can you imagine living under military occupation every day, where you have to go through checkpoints and you have no hope of relief? This is the empire, the most powerful force in the world that is ruling over you. The Jews longed for freedom, yet saw no way in which they could be relieved. So they wondered, is there some hidden power like God that will intervene on our behalf? So an entire literature developed around 200 BC that went on until 100 AD after the destruction of the temple. And it is now known as apocalyptic literature. Basically, it's resistance literature or crisis literature written by a people under oppression. It spoke in symbolic terminology about the state of the world and the possibility of change coming to it. And the Jews in the first century were very familiar with apocalyptic literature. So Revelation, they understood. But for us, it's very unfamiliar. We have nothing really like it. We have to work hard to try to understand what these symbols mean. And we must also recognize that most of us cannot relate to living under an oppressive regime. We live in a democracy where you are allowed to vote, where you are allowed to protest, where you are allowed to express an alternative opinion. Well, when an empire rules or a repressive regime rules, no dissent is allowed. Dissent is put down swiftly and harshly. And yet dissent still arose. People still longed for freedom. And crisis or resistance literature inspired them. So that's a bit of what Revelation does. It is an apocalypse unveiling hope because of what God will do. But secondly, Revelation also contains eschatology. And eschatology is teaching about the things of the end or the end of history. So Revelation contains teaching about the future. So the first part of the Bible is all about what happened and how we live in light of that. Revelation is all about what will happen and how we live today in light of that. Revelation tells us that history as we know it will one day come to an end. And this is good news because a better world is coming when Christ descends to bring his kingdom to earth. We look forward to a world that will be free from suffering, evil, and pain. And one author writes, eschatology involves the belief that the resurrection appearances of Jesus are not yet complete because we will all see him when he comes back. But Revelation is not only apocalypse and eschatology. Revelation is also prophecy. Notice verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Now, in the Bible, prophecy means the message was given directly from God to the prophet. And the first verse of Revelation emphasizes this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. So do you see the transmission of the message? It started with God. He gave it to Jesus. He sent an angel who gave John these visions. John wrote the visions down. And we have the text today of the revelation. More than any other New Testament book, Revelation makes a claim that this comes directly from God. This is a prophecy. This is written from God to us. And I take John, the author of Revelation, to be the same John who wrote the Gospel of John and the first, second, and third letters of John. The John who was one of the 12, the John who was one of the inner three of Jesus' closest disciples. But there's one more piece to answer to the question, what is Revelation? Lastly, it is a letter, a circular pastoral letter. And we will see in the weeks to come that John wrote this letter to seven churches in what was then called Asia Minor and is now called Turkey. So this was a document that was written to real people in real struggle and facing hard times. John puts Revelation together in a pastoral way to encourage and shepherd the people of these seven churches. So now we know a little bit more of what we're reading. It's an apocalypse, which contains eschatology and prophecy in the form of a letter. Next question, what does Revelation reveal? Well, first of all, it reveals Jesus Christ. First words again. Apocalypsis Jesu Christu, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. But what does that mean? It could mean the apocalypse, the revelation, comes from Jesus Christ. Or it could mean it's the apocalypse about Jesus Christ, about him. Now, the first one, from Jesus Christ, is the obvious answer and the right answer, for the next phrases tell us, yes, this is a revelation that came from Jesus, who received it from God. But it turns out the second part is also true. This is a revelation about Jesus Christ. For Revelation portrays Jesus in ways we have not seen in other parts of the New Testament. Here, Jesus is the all-powerful Son of Man who shines like the sun. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the Lamb standing as though it has been slain. He is the only one in all the universe with the authority to take the scroll from God to unveil the things that are to be revealed. He is the rider on the white horse who will return to strike down the nations. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the great judge, and the one who will come on the clouds for everyone to see. So there is a lot of revelation about Jesus in Revelation. But there's another major area of revelation. Verse 1 again, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. So these things or events are what will precede the return of Christ. The events of the end. The things that must soon take place, the end of history. And this is where the eschatology or teaching about the last things will come in. Seals will be broken, trumpets will be blown, bowls will be poured out, which reveal what is coming. These are the things that must soon take place. But how can Jesus say These are the things that must soon take place when it's been 1900 years since he said that. History has not ended. Jesus has not returned. So how could he say soon? Several possibilities. Soon could mean suddenly. And so what Jesus is saying to John is that these events will come upon you suddenly. You don't know when they're going to happen, but they're going to come upon you suddenly. Soon could mean certainly. It is certain that these events will occur. You must be ready for them. Soon could be from the perspective of God. For in God's eyes, 1,000 years is like a day. So the coming of the end is soon. But I think the strongest interpretation is what's technically called prophetic foreshortening. Not shortening for bread, prophetic foreshortening. And basically what that means is to a prophet, the future is always soon. Whatever they were prophesying, they saw as soon. It didn't matter how many years there were between the prophecy and the fulfillment of the prophecy. They saw it as soon because they were trying to get the people that they were preaching to react, to respond, to take heed to their words. And I think Jesus takes the posture of a prophet here to communicate to the listener how vital it is that they take to heart the words that are found in Revelation. So we have these two major areas of revelation in Revelation, Jesus Christ and the things that are soon to take place. And in the course that I took this past May, our instructor reminded us of how important it is to keep both of these in the forefront of our mind as we go through Revelation. If we only focus on Jesus, then we will be unprepared for the hardship of the events when they come. We will be unprepared for the devil and his angels and his followers' persecution if we only focus on Jesus. But if we only focus on the events without Jesus, then we'll be filled with nothing but fear, which was my experience as a child. All they told us was the scary things that were coming. We must keep both in balance, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the events that are on their way. So, we've learned a little about what this is, an apocalypse, eschatology, prophecy, and a letter. We've learned a little about the two major areas of revelation, Jesus Christ and the things that must soon take place. But how can this help us today? Some of you here have struggled to make it through this week, and you need encouragement today, and you're wondering, well, what difference does it make what that particular trumpet or symbol means when I'm just trying to make it in life? So here's some possibilities, and I hope that one of these will encourage you today. What difference does Revelation make today? Well, the message of Revelation can first of all give hope to a people oppressed by an anti-God power. If you spend time looking at the news, it can be pretty depressing. Wars, disease, suffering, failure in leadership, trouble. Looks like evil is winning. But learning that God is supreme and ultimately works out his purposes can bring renewed joy and hope. And Revelation will reveal that God is supreme over every power and force in the universe. So despite what the news says, or despite what we see happening, God and his people will win. And Revelation reveals this to us again and again to give us hope. Secondly, God's message from Revelation can give us perspective to the cosmic struggle between good and evil that goes on behind the scenes and sometimes reaches down right into our lives. Did you ever think about the fact that some of the struggles that you face are because there's a bigger struggle going on behind the scenes between Jesus and his angels and the devil and his angels? And how we respond is part of that battle. We need to use the weapons God provides to do our part in fighting this battle. We raise up the shield of faith with other Christians beside us. We swing the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to cut through the lies of the devil. We offer a prayer. We ask for God's intervention. Instead of just laying down as victims, We stand up with the armor of God and the Lord leading us. And sometimes making it through the week and standing firm is all that God asks of you. That's a victory. Making it through the week and still keeping the faith. And we will never know until eternity how our standing firm played a role in this cosmic struggle between good and evil. Thirdly, God's message from Revelation can also give us encouragement by showing the power and sovereignty of God. So this is kind of related to the first one, but I wanted to get the word courage in there. Encouragement. Put courage into us. No matter how difficult our lives, how difficult the things in history, Revelation announces God is still in control. God will conclude history in the way he has promised. And though the devil and his minions carry out all their schemes and plans, God is the one who can work all things together for good to those who love him. Revelation reminds us of God's supreme ability to take what looks like a disaster and to bring something good out of it. Number four, the message of Revelation can give wisdom for times of hardship because of persecution for our faith. Some of the hardship we go through in life is simply a result of living in a fallen world. Some hardship is because of our own choices, our own sins. But the hardships talked about in Revelation are directly related to being God's people. Now, we in North America have not been well trained in suffering persecution for our faith, like some of our brothers and sisters have in other parts of the world. But things are changing, and we're going to get a lot more training because more and more are Christians being marginalized. More and more does the godless view of society dominate. More and more are we scorned and mocked. More and more is the scripture dismissed as discredited. Even within Christianity, there's a lot of questioning about the Bible's reliability and trustworthiness. And Revelation reveals this is not unexpected. It will encourage us and exhort us to persevere in the faith, even when things get tough, because we're Christians. And the last one is, I think, one of the most practical applications of Revelation. Revelation can give us strength to resist temptation, to succumb to the world's pressures and invitations to compromise. You know, sometimes we get into a fog about the temptations we face or the ones that we're giving into. We get so immersed in the culture that we aren't even aware that we might be sinning. Or we can give in or give up because everyone is doing it. And maybe everyone is. And so we wonder, what's the point? Why keep standing for God when no one else is in my workplace, in my classroom, in my family? But then we get a picture of the all-powerful Lord in heaven, or the holiness of God, or what Jesus sacrificed for us. Or we see the worship of the Lamb that happens in Revelation 4. And we realize this is true. This is one worth following. This is the one I must give my life to. So I have to stop whatever I've been dabbling in. And Revelation, as we read it and we take it in and we try to let the visual images that are portrayed here permeate our souls, can move us to strength, to resist temptation. Revelation will teach us that God is still in control, that God cares about all that is happening in the world and in our lives, that God powerfully intervenes to accomplish his purposes, that God provides resources from his glorious riches to enable us to overcome what we're facing, and that God will see us through the darkest times of our lives to the other side. And the question today is simply this: will we receive this message? Notice the end of verse 3. Blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. So through Revelation, God calls us to listen to his message and keep its word. God didn't include this book in the Bible so we could have our curiosity satisfied. God didn't include Revelation so we could sit around and debate the exact meaning of a particular symbol. God wants us to hear and keep the commands found within this word. Like 2:5, repent and do the works you did at first. 2:10, Do not fear what you are about to suffer. 2:14, repent from holding to the teaching of Balaam. 2:25, hold fast to what you have until I come. 3:2, wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. 3:3, remember what you have received and heard. 3:15, stop being lukewarm and repulsive to Christ. 14:7, fear God and give him glory because the hour of his judgment has come. 14:9, if anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath. 14:12, here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commands of God and their faith in Jesus. And 22:7, blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Will we hear? Will we keep his word? Revelation is a dramatic and graphic book. It has strange creatures and awesome moments of worship. It gives glimpses of heaven and a clear picture of the depravity of man. Yet most of all, it can bring hope. Because God is supreme, the Lord Jesus Christ will return triumphant. And this revelation, this unveiling, can help us to stay focused on what's most important in life. So I have an assignment for you this week. I want you to read the book of Revelation this week. It should take you half an hour to an hour. Read it so that you become acquainted with what we're going to be going through. And if you have questions that arise, I want to encourage you to send me those questions, and I will try to address them in the messages or with you personally. But I want you to reconnect with Revelation, if you haven't for a long time, and begin to see what God has to say to us here. To that end, we're going to come and to meet the one who gave this revelation in a moment at the table, but let us pray as we prepare. Lord God, as we come to this, the final book of your scriptures, we thank you for it. And we pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes to its truth. Help us to be able to cut through the fog that may be out there in our experience, in past teaching, that maybe has not been accurate, or in our own struggles in understanding what we read. Help us to see what you want us to see, to discover you afresh, anew, and to be filled with hope. We look forward to what you will do through your word. And now we come to your table to remember what it cost so that we might know you. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.